Amen. Thank you, ladies. If this could be the year, this could be the day. And I do think about that often. I'm ready to go. I'm saved. I'm on my way. I'm as sure as if I already were there. But I want to also live my life like a Christian. I don't want there to be any doubt. I'm saved and I'm secure. I'm safe. I'm eternally safe and secure. And I'm thankful for that. But I also want people to know at a distance. I want them to know at a glance. I don't want them to have to look too hard to figure out I'm a Christian. And so as I preach in just a little while to us and then those that are joining us via the radio, we're certainly glad that you're listening today as it's broadcast live on Sunday mornings. And then those that are joining us live stream, we're so thankful that you've joined us. However you've gotten here, and I'm excited to preach to us this first service of the new year. And I want to preach from the Word of God, of course. And my title, I'm giving it to you, but it's not where you think it is. I'm going to preach about joy to the world. And you may be saying, preacher, we're already past Christmas season. And you'll be surprised at where that song, Joy to the World, actually came from or where it was speaking of. So I want to have you look, if you would, at Psalm 98. Psalm 98, as you find your place there in Psalm 98, I did hear a story about this son over Christmas. He was rich, loaded, and had sent his mom a gift, spent thousands and thousands of dollars on this parrot. And he wanted to keep company. Nobody was there, and the parrot would talk and actually knew several languages. And he visited his mom soon after that, about Christmas time. And he said, Mom, how'd you like that parrot? He said, oh, son, it was good. Yeah, it was fine. He says, well, no, how do you like it? It was good. And she said, no, how's it doing? She said, it's actually, if you're going to be honest, and I just have to tell you, it was a little bit tough. And she said, yeah, when I cooked it up, it was a little bit tough. She said, Mom, you didn't cook that bird, did you? She said, well, yeah, what else are we going to do with one? That's the way we've been doing chickens all these years. She said, Mom, I can't believe you. I spent thousands and thousands of dollars on that. She said, well, I'm sorry, son. And it was still tough. And she said, I don't know what to tell you. And he said, Mom, that bird, he could speak five languages. Mom said, you thought he said something. So, Happy New Year. Psalm 98, we'll read the whole psalm, and you look as we read it, and I'm thankful for you having your Word of God in front of you. We'll read it. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for He hath done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm hath gotten Him the victory. The Lord hath made known His salvation. His righteousness hath He openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered His mercy, His truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and the voice of the psalm. Pay special attention, verse 6, with trumpets and sound of cornet, make a joyful noise before the Lord the King. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for He cometh to judge the earth. With righteousness shall He judge the world and the people with equity. In verse 6, with trumpets and sound of cornet, make a joyful noise before the Lord, the King. And I want to preach for just a little while about that song title, Joy to the World, and I trust the Lord would bless us for these next 20 minutes or so and move upon our hearts that we would start off this year telling about joy to the world, and we'll find here in this psalm. Father, bless us now is our prayer. I pray that Your name is lifted up. I pray that You'd be glorified in all that's happened. Lord, we're rejoicing with those that rejoice this morning. We're thankful for the goodness that You've shown us. Lord, we're weeping with those that are weeping today that have lost loved ones. And Lord, we're saddened by that. But Lord, we're looking to Thee. I pray for, Lord, for Donna Pruitt and David as Donna's brother went home to be with You, dear Lord. Thank for the comfort that You give that family. Thank for the comfort You give the Presnell family, some folks here in the area. Lord, we weep with those that weep. But Lord, we tell them, each and every one, that there's comfort, there's peace, there's help, there's hope in Your name. Now again, we pray in that precious name and ask You to give help today in Jesus' name. Amen. Isaac Watts wrote the song, Joy to the World, the Lord is Come, published some 300 years ago, 1719 to be exact. And the reason that we read Psalm 98 this morning is because that was the inspiration for that hymn, especially verse number 4, where it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth, make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. As strange as it may seem, this song was written about Jesus Christ coming in Bethlehem. The song, Joy to the World, was not written about the manger and wasn't written about the Christ child, wasn't written about him being announced to shepherds. It wasn't written about all that. Actually, Watts wrote the song in reference to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. And it talks about him reigning. It talks about him ruling. And so the song, Joy to the World, gives us peace. It does give joy to the world because the Lord will right every wrong there. He will rule and he will right the wrongs that are in this world. And so we can boldly proclaim through this message the same thing that the songwriter did 300 years ago. And that is, joy to the world, our Savior reigns. But I want to look at this verse. If this psalm inspired a songwriter to write a song that's lasted now for these 300 years, I want us to look and see what this psalm would have spoke to his heart about. And so I want you to see a few things. Joy to the world, one, because God has made salvation known. We see that in verses 1, 2, and 3. Look at verse number 1. Sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. In verse 2, the Lord hath made known his salvation. The righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. I can tell you why there's joy to the world, my friend. Not because everybody's getting so nice. They may have had a little nice spell right there around Christmas time, but everybody's going to be back to business as normal now when you see them tomorrow. Everybody might have been dishing out candy canes and Reese cup trees or something like that, or have that little desk on their, or a little container on their desk and tell everybody Merry Christmas, but tomorrow she's back to normal. It's nasty and they're not nice anymore, and they're telling you, get out of my way because I'm running over you. Joy to the world was only a little season there for most of the world, but I'm telling you this morning, according to the Word of God, we have joy to the world because God made salvation known. The blessed message of Christmas is not that there was a baby born in Bethlehem only. The message of Christmas is who that baby was. And that baby was none other than the Christ child, Jesus Christ himself, who left heaven's glory. And as verse number 2 said, the Lord hath made known his salvation. My sister used to listen to this song, good or bad, I don't remember. But it had one line. It said, when goodbyes are said and the spotlights go dead, there's nobody left that cares to hang around you. You know what the joy to this world that we can tell them after January 1st, yesterday, just like we told them before? And that is that God loves them. There's a reason why the message of the gospel and why this church can continue on just like it has for these hundreds of years. There's a reason why our message isn't out of date. There's a reason why it hasn't gone extinct. And that reason is because everybody has that empty place in their heart that's custom made for the Lord to be in there. You can try to fill it with activities. You can try to fill it with illicit relationships. You can try to fill it with everything that you want to, but a person will never have true joy until they come to the Lord as their Savior. You want to know why this thing's gone on for these thousands of years since Jesus left this earth? Because there's something special. There's something deity about it. There's something godly about it. It's salvation, and you didn't author it. I certainly didn't author it, but it's authored by the Lord, and that's why we're meeting here today. Show me another group that's met for this many years. I tell some folks about the church and its founding in 1779, and the most silly question I ever get is, do you have any charter members left? I was like, well, no. It's older than Buffalo Ridge, that's for sure. And the reason that this message is still powerful today, and the reason it still gives joy to the world, because God made, as verse number 2 says, salvation known. We've got reason to rejoice. And as we launch out into this new year, you've got the same message as you had last year. And that is, the gift of God is eternal life. But I want you to see, not only because God made salvation known, but look in verse number 4, if you would. Not only because he made salvation known, but because of who he is. Number 2, because God is king. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise, singing to the Lord with the harp, with that harp, the voice of the psalm, with trumpets and the sound of the cornet. Make a joyful noise before the Lord, the King. In every empire, currently and in our history, the king would take his position of royalty, plushest environment available to man. He would take his position in his prestigious spot over top of all of his subjects. Only the king of all kings ever came and was subject to the humility and the humble beginnings and the humble life that Jesus did. Would you have come as a baby in a manger? Would you have come when people ridiculed and said unkind things about your mother? Would you have come when they would have lied and talked about your origin as if it were a out and out untruth? Would you have come in that doubting and disputations? Would you have come, or would you have come in a place where you were born in a manger? Would I have come? Certainly not. But our King did come. And the greatest evidence of power is that when a king doesn't have to take his position, he already is the position. He already is God Almighty. Every king, every person of authority, and many times you work for some of them in your job and your bosses, and they need to exert their authority over you because they're afraid you won't know who you're dealing with. My friend, Jesus didn't feel that need. Ultimate power doesn't need to be exerted. It just is. And so we see that there's joy to the world because God is King. Yes, He came as a humble child. And yes, He came in poverty and obscurity. But one of these days, He will come again. He will rule, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 19. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness, he doth judge and make war. And the Bible goes on to say, he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. For those of us who thought that Jesus should not come in obscurity, my friend, just hold on to your hat. He's coming the way you thought he should have come all along. But he was no less God when he came as a babe in a manger as he is when he comes riding a white horse and defeats the nations. My friend, we realize that there is joy to the world because God is King. Always has been, always will be. Some of you this morning, I know that you like to root for the underdog. You like to take a ball game and whoever's not supposed to win, you love to see them overcome. Well, my friend, there were people in the day and age that Jesus walked this sod that they thought that they defeated him. And they were certain that they had put him down for the last time. But you want to talk about an underdog story. And I say that with all reverence that I can muster up, the greatest story of one coming from the behind is when the Lord Jesus Christ allows humanity, who he created, to take his, as he lays down his life, and he allows them to hang him on a tree. And he defeats not only their attempts, but he defeats death, hell, and the grave. Amen. Because he's King. I've heard there's a show called Undercover Boss where somebody from a large, large corporation who owns it, runs it, CEO possibly, will come into a small, maybe a restaurant, a franchise, and just get a job, a menial job there, and work at them as an entry-level position. And they say how surprised everybody is when they actually find out that this guy who was a fry cook along with the rest of them actually is not a fry cook, but he owns the whole company. My friend, I don't know about that show, whether it's good, bad, or ugly, but I'm telling you this, our King came in the most humble of positions, and our King came in the most humble of circumstances, but he will come again and reveal to the world and make there be no bones about it or doubt about it that he will reign. Joy to the world, our Savior reigns. And we see that there's joy to the world because God made salvation known. There's joy to the world because God is King. And there's joy to the world, verses number 7 through 9. because creation proclaims God's glory. Let's look at those verses again. Let the sea roar. Let the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands. Give applause to the Almighty that made them. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord. For he cometh to judge the earth. With righteousness shall he judge the world, and the people with equity. My friend, as we watch the trees sway in the breeze this cold winter season that we've had, 78. I told somebody it's strange. Last Christmas Eve we had 7 inches of snow, and this year we got 70 degrees. So 7 made it in both times, but totally different setting. You watch the trees sway as we've been having lots of storms around. You watch those trees sway, and they seem to wave at heaven, putting their allegiance to the God who made them. God who created this world and gave it at that day the appearance of age, because there would have already been trees, I believe, mature trees that looked very old, and they had in them the life that would go to the next tree and the next and the night, the next and the next. And God keeps this living things going. But as you see those trees today, they seem to point their way, each one of them, to heaven and say, he's the one that created us. We haven't seen it this year, but as you watch the snowfall, we're reminded that God talks about that white snow showing the cleanliness of our sins if we're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. As those clouds roll through the sky, it's almost as if the curtains for God's stage go open and then show his son that he placed up there in the sky, and then he brings him back in for the next act, and then we see him open up again and we see the beauty renewed and fresh. Some days it's cloudy, some days it's sunny, some days it's dreary, but God rolls those clouds back and forth again and again to show us, like an actor's on a stage, he's got all of his stars up there that always give him applause. He's got his sun, the moon. He's got the currents that come through there. He's got all of this as if it were a stage, and all the stage is there to point glory to the conductor, to the creator, to the Lord Jesus Christ. As we look at the beautiful mountains, and I think we live in the most beautiful place in the world, with these smoky mountains over to our west just a little bit, and the hills and the mountains up this way, each of those mountains pointing their way to the Lord. And God says, I can put some smoky mountains over there. I can put the plains all the way out through the Midwest and give you plenty of places to grow your grains, and I can give you places to grow your raise your cattle. I can do all of this, and all of that different landscape it shows as signposts to God that says he's a great and mighty creator. Let the sea roar, verse number 7. And the fullness thereof, let those waves come in off those beaches. Let them crash against that sand again and again. And each one with the message that there's a mighty creator that keeps that ocean life going. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together. Before the Lord, he cometh to judge the earth. We see the rows of crops that are in these Midwest fields, reminding us of the miracle of growth. We see babies born, and as we look at the face of an innocent child, we're reminded that there's somebody that's created in the image of God. And my friend, as you take an honest look at nature, I'm talking about an honest look, not one that's been skewed by somebody who got taught by somebody else, who got taught by somebody else, who got taught by somebody else, that this world took billions and billions of years to somehow accidentally belch itself out. Take an honest look at nature when you get a chance this afternoon. And even our trees without their leaves and their foliage as they sway there. If you're honest, you may not come to this conclusion that every specific conclusion that the Word of God says, but you will be on your quest and you'll see as those trees are swaying there that something much bigger than I had to be orchestrating this creation. It's been said before, it'd take more faith to believe that this whole world happened by accident than it does to believe in by faith in a creator. And you'll have to decide that for yourself, but I'm telling us all this morning, you're going to have to put a lot of faith in something to believe that that outside got out there. And I'm telling you, if you do an honest study, I believe that you would find, as the psalmist did in verse 8, you'd say, let the floods clap their hands. Let them give God a round of applause. Let the hills that we see so beautifully in our region, let them be joyful together, pointing their glory to the Almighty. Sometimes it's interesting to watch. I don't know if you've ever done it or not, but you watch on YouTube or some other video platform these folks that will cut these big trees wider than a person is. I mean, 10 feet across, and they'll have to cut in and fall those big things. And all those are nothing in the sight of God. Those are just one of the marvels He's done. We talk about the seven wonders of the world, all of those small settings that God has set forth. So all of nature says the same thing this morning. All of nature. Again, you may not know just by looking at nature, well, there's a God and He had a son. His name was Jesus. He sent Him to the manger. You'd need the Word of God for that. But all of nature gives hints and indications that there is something, somebody, much more powerful than the people I see walking around. You heard one guy that was denying all of this. He said, I don't think that's fair, and I don't think this is fair, and I don't think this is fair. He was an atheist, a God denier. And I don't think it should be this way. And this guy who was a follower of Christ, he said, well, if you don't like this one, just go make your own universe. And you know he found it impossible just like anybody else would. The laws of nature, the laws of the universe are set forth there by the Creator. And that, my friend, is why the floods clap their hands. That's why the waves crash upon the beaches and show each time they beach themselves, each time that they give applause to the Lord. There is a God. You can deny it, you can doubt it, discuss it or discount it. But my friend, I've come this morning to tell you, as Isaac Watts did some 300 years ago, joy to the world, the Lord is come. And you can march off into this new year. You can have all the resolutions you want, and I'm for them. You want to organize and downsize and reinvent and all that? Wonderful. This is a great time, excellent time to get started on something new. I read one person said it like this, some post somewhere, said to all those people who postponed their New Year's resolution till start on Monday, I'm behind you. It's a great time to start something new. It's a great time to start something fresh, change some things. But as you're changing, as you're freshening up, as you're making better emphasis, remember this. Remember that all of creation does their job. All of nature does what it's supposed to do. The trees point to God's heaven. The waves clap about the applause of God. The miracle of births, both humans, but then even animals, they show that wonderful procreation that God has put forth. And all of nature does its job. And so I've got a question for me. Am I? If all of nature is going to do its job, every tree is going to push itself up to the Lord and point it to God. Every wave is going to clap on the beaches and give applause to the Lord. Every animal out there running shows the instincts that God put in them to nurture their little ones and go forward and procreate and have more and more. All of nature is going to do its job. Well, what about this preacher? Am I going to do my job? If nature glorifies the Lord, if the solar system glorifies the Lord, if the sun, the moon, the stars, all of that, if it glorifies the Lord, wouldn't I want to commit today that I would also proclaim His glory? As we review 2021, and a tough year it was, as so was the year before, but as we review 2021, ask yourself, because it's not my business about you and it's not your business about me, but ask yourself, was I proclaiming His glory? In my business, in my workplace, in my family, in my neighborhood, was I proclaiming His glory? Nature does. The sea does. The waves do. The trees do. All of those glorify the Lord. Was this preacher? The inspiration for that song, Joy to the World, is this psalm right here. Isaac Watts wrote that this is the psalm that inspired his song. Why? Because a God that brings order and peace, as he shows here in this psalm, also brings joy. I'll give you this last illustration. I've seen hundreds, just like you have, thousands probably, of kids over the years as the children's pastor for some time before I ever came here. And see families. You want to know what the family of a church really is like? Don't ask mom and don't ask dad. They're a Sunday school teacher, a deacon, a choir. Ask the kids. You've heard the old story about all the family that's cussing and discussing, yelling back and forth in the car, and then as soon as they pull in the church parking lot, open the doors, oh, hey, brother, how are you doing? Pastor's nice to see you. And I'm sure many kids are thinking, well, my mom's got a dual personality. One fellow said, did you ask several people for advice? He said, well, I asked all 18 of mom's personalities. I think I got the true look here. But you want to know what a family's really like? Don't ask the mom. Don't ask the dad. They're too smart. They'll lie. Ask the kids. And I've watched thousands of kids over the years. And can I tell you which ones seem to be the most joyful? Are the families that have some structure and some order to them. That the dad and mom has gotten the message across that you're here for a purpose. That God created you. That you've got a holy God who loves you. You've got a Savior, His Son, Jesus Christ, who's God Himself, who came to die on the cross for you. Because that does more than just give them a story to learn in Sunday school. That gives them value and gives them worth. And the reason that you are somebody today is not because you pulled yourself up by your own bootstraps. The reason you're somebody is not because you became somebody out of your own drive and initiative. The reason that you and I are somebody is because Jesus loves me. And my worth and my identity is found in Him. And the children that have the most amount of joy are those who have been brought up with somebody who brought order, showed them where they came from, what they were here for, and what their job was. You say, what is their job? I don't mean what job they're supposed to take in society. All of our job is to proclaim the Lord's goodness. If He lets you work at Eastman or He gets you a job doing somewhere else or you travel or you do this, that makes no matter. Your job and my job is to do what these trees out here in this courtyard do. And that's put an arrow straight up to heaven to proclaim the glory of the Lord. Our Savior, as this psalm says, will bring order which will produce joy. You want to know the happiest times on this earth is going to be when the Lord rules and reigns. You say, what about the decades of here? What about the roaring this or what about this? The best times in this earth ever will be when we have a perfect ruler. That time, my friend, is coming. Why do I know? Because the Word of God says that Jesus is coming again. He will one day set up His kingdom. Before that, you know the Bible message is that before that, He will remove His church till all tribulation breaks loose on this earth. But my friend, Jesus is coming again. Have you been doing your job in 2021? Please don't confess it to me because you don't have to. But if you haven't been, then today's the day that you ought to reenlist. Today's the day that you ought to say, God left me on this earth for a reason. I'm going to point people to Him. As a choir member, I'm going to sing about Him. As a Sunday school teacher, I'm going to teach about Him. As a greeter, I'm going to show people their seat, but I'm going to also show them to Jesus. That's why we do everything we do around here. We're looking at different things. If we are doing something around here and it doesn't somehow have a way to get people to Jesus, then I ask and very critical questions, why are we doing it? And if nature will point to Christ and the solar system will point to Christ, then I ask you to ask yourself the question this year past, did I point people to Christ? And if I didn't, you're in a great place. Today, the beginning of this year, you can commit to the Lord, say, Lord, I want to do my part. If an old tree can point somebody to Christ, if a wave that's coming in and crashing on the beach can point somebody to Christ, then this old boy can point somebody to Christ. I can live my life in a way that somebody notices there's something different about me. I can get one of those tracks out there. I can invite somebody to church with me. I can try to build my Sunday school class. I can help my adult Bible teacher. I can bring them in. We can do something to point people to Christ. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth, that's the people, let them receive it. If you're here today and you're a Christian and you want to renew your commitment to point people to Christ, then I'm challenging you right there where you sit. In just a moment, we have our invitation that you tell the Lord, Lord, you and me in 2022, I want to find the ways that I can direct people to you. You say, I don't have a class. That doesn't matter. I'm not a talkative person. Doesn't matter. I don't sing. That doesn't matter. You can find some way. I promise if you'll ask God, He'll show you how to point people to Him. And if you're here today and you're not sure that you're saved, you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven, oh, my friend, you are in the best place on this earth that you could be, because there's 90-some% of the people in this room that are going to be praying for you, that if you're not sure Jesus is your personal Savior, then they want you to be saved. There's a steeple over on the chapel. One of these days, Lord willing, there'll be one on this one too. But those steeples are there, yes, to give landmarks, but those spires are there to point people to Jesus. And I want you to know that if you're here today and you're not sure that Jesus is your Savior, or perhaps you're listening on the radio, you're not sure that Jesus is your Savior. You know a lot about Him, but He's never come into your life. You've never received Him for the forgiveness of your sins. I want to do my job today and point you to Him to tell you that He is who you're looking for. He's the reason your life has been miserable. He is who you've been missing. He wants to save you today. If you're here today and you're not saved, I trust that before this day ends, in the invitation time, you would receive Christ into your life. Whatever your need is, all of us need to do business with the Lord. Would you pray with me, bow your heads together? And here's the invitation. The ladies are going to play something through here in just a moment when they make their way to the instruments. But as they begin to play, I'm going to ask that you do a holy business with the Lord, a little business meeting, you and God. Be honest with the Lord. You're not going to tell me. I'm not going to trick you and tell you later to tell me what you told God. That's between you and Him. But if you've not done a good job in 2021, we've got an opportunity coming for you, 2022. Let's as a church commit, individually though, but as a church full of individuals, that we want to do what we can to point people to Christ. And then if you're not saved, as soon as we stand, would you feel free to come slip down to this altar? There'll be somebody waiting for you. Love to take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. It's so simple. Jesus died on the cross for you so you could go to heaven. All you have to do is receive Him as your Savior for the forgiveness of your sins. That's what His desire is. Father, again, bless us is our prayer. We'll thank You for all You do. Would you begin to play? And as they play, would you stand together? This invitation is for everyone. Christian, right there in your seat. Would you commit to God that, Lord, you've let me live through another year? And Lord, as long as you give me breath this year, I'm going to try to point people to you. I'm going to be a signpost to heaven. This, folks, is not for you. This is me. But I want to confess it to you and tell you, I have missed too many opportunities last year to show people Jesus. And I believe that I'm not alone. We've let COVID and all the difficulties and all the problems preoccupy us. We've let sicknesses and we've let illnesses, and they are very major. But remember, my friend, God will go with us through all of those. I have let some of these things preoccupy me to the point where I haven't been as good a witness for Christ as I should be. Do you find yourself in that position? Let's commit it to the Lord, that, dear Lord, I want my light to so shine before men that they might see my good works and glorify my Father which is in heaven. As folks are praying, I give you this one last invitation. Please, if you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven, don't leave out the back doors before you get it settled. Brother Daniel's right in front of the pulpit that I preach from. Would love to take a Bible. If you're a lady, then he'd have one of the ladies from the church who would just patiently take their time and through the Word of God show you how Jesus wants to be your Savior. Would you step out and come? Maybe you're here and you are saved, but you need to be baptized. You'd like to present yourself for that. We'll do it in a real soon service. Maybe you need to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. You want to start the year off as a member of a local New Testament Baptist church. Would you come? Thank you so much. You can look this way. What a joy to be in God's house. Good to see each of you. It's good to see Levi Williams back there. We've been praying for him. He had some illnesses. Thank the Lord that he's back with us. And praise the Lord. God's done many wonderful things. And I know there's still a lot of folks that are sick, but we are praying for them and asking the Lord to bless in a special way. I'm going to ask Brother Stephen Kerr, if you didn't mind, to slip out there past your wife and grandma and come dismiss us in prayer. And they won't be here with us much longer. Of course, you know they're heading to Chile and it'll be soon. But while he's here, want to get him to in front of us and let you remember, remember this face. Right, Leslie? Remember this face. Yes, remember that face. She says, oh, how can we forget it? Remember that face. Remember to pray for it. Pray for them. Pray the Lord would bless them. And then just this word, we're praying for the Presnell family. They passed, the dad pastors a church here in town. The burial for their son is at 3:30 this afternoon, Sulphur Springs Cemetery. They asked people to be there no later than 3:15. That's the burial service for Titus Presnell. And we're really praying for that family and trust that you'll join us with that. Brother Steve, why don't you pray for us? Thank you. It's always good to have you here. God bless you.
Thank you for the opportunity, Lord, that we have to be here, that you've brought us through another year, Lord, and for what Pastor preached about the opportunity that we have to just show others, Lord, your glory and to proclaim to them the joy that we have because of what you've done for us. Lord, I pray that this year would be the year that many, many thousands of people would come to know you as their Savior throughout the world, but then also, Lord, so many even in this area because of the witness of us here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. I pray you go with us, Lord, as we go out the rest of our day and bring us back safely here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
God bless you. You're dismissed.